Hell froze over, so here comes the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast with growing pains. And now, crapped out once again, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. This is the podcast where, as my nephew, my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, may have just told you, I, Doug Jones, act as your Medicare advisor and your Medicare specialist in order that you might be confident whenever your encounter with Medicare is going to happen. You can approach Medicare with knowledge that will put you on top of your game, and you will become one of the best Medicare experts in the country. There aren't that many, so it's a small fraternity that you would be a part of. The way that you can acquire that knowledge and become one of the best Medicare experts is to purchase my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. You can purchase the book at Amazon.com. or BarnesandNoble.com. We've got a paperback on sale at Barnes & Noble. We've got four different versions at Amazon. We've got the paperback that I just mentioned. We've got the Audible book that you can listen to. We've got the very inexpensive, very nicely priced Kindle version that can be downloaded instantly to your reader. And we have the magnificently constructed hardcover book. All four of those have the same knowledge, the same layout, the same information. Once you have spent a little time reading my book, you will find that you are now a Medicare expert, very much like I am. So for that enjoyment, I would say, you know, anybody that's very much like me is a lucky, lucky person. They get to work with Randy Carson. So far, I'm the only one I know, but you never know what could happen in the future. Randy, thanks again for being my co-creator for this podcast.
Well, you know, I've mentioned it a couple times. I enjoy the heck out of doing it, and never a week goes by. I know this sounds incredible. We've been doing this for, you know, what, coming on, well, it's just a little bit over 600 episodes now, right? Just a little bit over 600.
We're creeping up to 650.
Okay. Well, you know, of all of those episodes, I never go through one without learning something. And you know me, I love to learn stuff. So bottom line is, it's been a real pleasure.
You're like a knowledge magnet. Facts and figures just stick to your brain somehow. And then,
I love facts and figures.
And then you love to show off by stumping the insurance guy or the anti-insurance guy. And all of a sudden I get stumped and you're having a good time over there. Chuckling away.
Programmers and technicians in general are detail kind of people. So I love learning things new. Bottom line is, it's just part of my character. But you know, the interesting part about that, Doug, was I was in school, mm-hmm. I couldn't have cared less about history. And now it's totally different.
Yeah. Yeah. I love history more. The interesting thing is that the girls I know really never cared to learn about the history of war, I want to say, as a broad subject. All of a sudden, over the last few months, the content curator has had me watching every damn thing Netflix has having to do with war, and then broaden it out to from World War II to World War I to the Romanov dynasty to a very wide variety of historical presentations. She never would have been interested in any of them, but all of a sudden she's watching those things like a student in a classroom.
Yep.
I don't
yep.
know what happened. Is that like a change that happens with older ladies?
She has transitioned into the history lady.
Yeah, she sure has. That's for damn sure. And looks like you can't, we always like to talk about our wardrobes normally off air, but what is your shirt? Cave Creek, Arizona, something or other.
Yeah, it's Cave Creek, Arizona. It's nothing. It's no in particular establishment.
I thought there was another word there.
Well, it says established in 1870 down below it there.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, I'm wearing my Gas Guzzlers Garage t-shirt.
Yes. I love those.
I spent a bunch of money on my 66 Impala Super Sport, and these guys did some suspension work on it, and they gave me a t-shirt. And then they got into a big fight and went their separate ways. So I'm wearing an
probably
heirloom.
The last t-shirt.
I think so. It may be that I want to.
I got to tell you a quick story about, you know, Gas Guzzlers.
Okay.
Everything we talk about prompts a thought in either your mind or mine. But I saw a post on Facebook the other day.
Yes.
Okay. Now picture this. There is a gas-powered van. Mm-hmm. Have I told you this?
No.
Okay. There is a gas-powered van. In said gas-powered van was a diesel-powered generator.
Okay.
With a cable running out the back of it, charging up an electric vehicle.
Okay, so that wasn't really a gas-powered van, was it? That would be more accurately described as an electric van with its own generator on it. Would that be accurate?
It was a gasoline-powered van. It was like a service vehicle.
Oh, okay. So it would go out and save people whose yes. batteries had gone dead.
Yes, and that gas-powered van
okay,
had
gasoline,
a
diesel-powered
generator in the back
of it. I saw that. I was forwarded that picture and description by several friends who are equally derisive of electric vehicles.
Well, you know, depending on where you live, I mean, it's a little different here in Arizona, but depending on where you live and how your electricity is generated, you can actually prove mathematically and logically and every other way that it costs more and is harder on the environment to drive an electric vehicle than it is to drive gas.
Oh, God. Just digging that stuff out of the earth that they need for the batteries is hard on the miners and apparently on the environment, wherever that is.
Well, lithium, it's lithium, and they're supposedly inventing something new that's going to be better, but I don't know if it's going to be scaled up for cars. The context I was reading, they were talking about better cell phone batteries, so I don't think you can plug your cell phone into your car to power it.
No, that would probably be a waste of time and effort. Well, you know something, as long as we have unlimited quantities of petroleum, and as long as we have unlimited quantities of gas stations all over the country, and as long as you can recharge your gasoline-powered car in like 5 minutes or less, then I would say that that's going to be a fairly popular alternative for, you know, transportation into the foreseeable future.
Yep. Absolutely. And I've got a horse.
Well, there you go. And that manufactures some stuff that could be.
Hey, that's a hay-powered vehicle.
It is a hay-powered vehicle, and what does it do? It throws out some stuff from the rear end.
Yes, it's called packaged exhaust.
Right, but you can throw that in a cook stove if you're out and about.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, it's multi-purpose. Well, you know, as the nominal producer, we promised ourselves to get through to the money maker. We need to do that. So I'm going to go ahead and mute myself out and watch you march into the money-making opportunities.
Well, I've got a lot of content that was curated by the content curator today, and it would be a shame to let that go to waste. So I'm going to start off with some correspondence that I've had with some of our favorite clientele. And I'm going to start off with our buddy Steve in Texas, who asked me a question. The question is, now this is a short, succinctly stated question. He said, it seems on Medicare, I never even see the bill for lab work. It doesn't show up in the Medicare website. I'm talking about taking blood tests at places like LabCorp and Quest. Do you know why this is so? And, I haven't even answered Steve yet because I scratched my head on this. And then I asked the content curator, because she has gone through the EOBs from Medicare that I don't go through. And I hearkened back to my days when my mother turned 65. She was widowed shortly before she turned 65. And because I was a health insurance expert, she relied on me to make the right decisions for her. And so I started out in her Medicare membership period to keep track of every expenditure. Now, my mother was Miss Oklahoma for about 5 minutes. And up until age 30, she was a magnificent physical specimen. Then she got polio, and then things started going downhill, and she had thyroid problems. She had all kinds of things that went wrong over the years. And so she was fairly busy with medical treatment. And consequently, there was a lot of Medicare paperwork that flowed into the house that I was responsible for. I used to try to keep track. Okay, she went to this doctor. They paid the certain percentage of that doctor's visit, and the rest of it was on, you know, our shoulders to pay, a very small proportion. And then future bills would come in, and yes, they paid it 100%, and this number didn't quite match that number, and what date was this? And boy, I drove myself insane. After about a year or so, I gave up. I couldn't figure out that Medicare was prone to any mistakes, and I just didn't understand why it was so difficult when it was easy to explain to people. So I stopped trying to keep track of her expenditures. I just watched the general flow of income and expenditures out the door for all things, and I never saw a bulge. And so I think the best thing I ever did was to stop fixating on the Medicare paperwork and the suspicious attitude I might have had about is Medicare trying to cheat us? Is Medicare making errors that result in them not paying all the bills or all the finances or all the financial responsibilities that they had? I just stopped worrying about it. And frankly, my life was a lot happier after that. And so I'm going to have to say to Steve, not only do I not know the answer, but the fact that this question exists sparked an argument between the content curator and me while we were watching television, because she didn't understand the question the way I understood it. And so we each had a different opinion about how to respond. And finally, I have to say that if one were to ignore Medicare and not worry about whether the reimbursements were exactly correct and so forth and so on, one would still be very unlikely to find out that they had made a mistake and that they had screwed something up and that they owed you extra money. The most I've ever done in the realm of pursuing a potential error was to get an EOB from a doctor's office or a bill from a doctor's office and suspect that they had not made it to that bill and not made it to both Medicare and my Medicare supplement, which is a high deductible plan. So I would call up the doctor's office. I'd say, hey, I got this bill for $100. I've got a high deductible Medicare supplement. Bill should be like $18. Please check and make sure you send it to Medicare and then to the supplement. And if there's a mistake, it's usually made in the doctor's office, or in this case, maybe the office of the laboratory. But if you're not getting billed for the blood tests, the cost of the blood tests, because they're not showing up anywhere, but you're not writing a check for the cost, I would say maybe that's all you need to know. Maybe your life is going to be happier if you don't know where those charges are. So that's my advice to Steve. It's not a very good answer to a serious question that he proposed. And maybe somebody else that's a fan of this podcast will let me know what they think a better answer would be. And I'm fine with that. I don't know everything. I want to know everything, but it's just not possible for me to retain all that knowledge. So as far as claims go, I know the general big picture percentages, but I don't know what happens to Steve's blood test cost. When the lab bills somebody, probably Medicare, for blood tests, I don't know what happens to that and why he can't find it on the Medicare website. Number two, another happy customer we have is the wife of a guy who wrote me, and I just mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. I woke up one morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, and here was an email from somebody I'd never spoken to before, and he said, I am in dire need of getting out of my Medicare Advantage plan, and I am told by my wife that you can help me get away from my Medicare Advantage plan. I have to get it done in like 3 days. It was a real short period of time. Maybe it was 5 days. And so I did help him. I sprang into action. I said, here's likely to be the best Medicare and Medicare supplement plan that I can offer you. Would you like to go ahead with it? And he said, yes, I would. And then his wife called me and said, I don't really understand. Could you help me understand? And on the phone with both of them, I explained how the Medicare plan works, or Medicare itself, how the Medicare supplement plan and the drug plan. And at the end of the conversation, they both seemed to be very happy. And so here's a little note they wrote me. I just got it yesterday. It says, hi, Doug. We haven't received any ID cards in the mail yet. Is there a website to print out our temporary ones? We are going on a little trip to see the new grandson. We would like to have a card in case we would need one. And I understand completely that the cards that are going to be part of your wallet, probably forever, haven't arrived yet. And that's always a little hinky. So I actually had two ways to go with this. And I went the way of allowing them to control the process. But for the Medicare supplement, I sold them United American. It was the best company for the best price for the high deductible plan G that they are, you know, buying from me, and that is going to serve them very, very well over the long haul. So I said, hi, Annette. Normally I offer to handle as many of the service functions that the privacy laws will allow. However, you have a deadline here, so you may want to tackle this one yourself. I knew I'd be busy this morning. Call the customer service number, and I gave her the customer service number for United American. She didn't have it because she doesn't have her card yet. And then ask for the confirmation of benefits, or whatever they call it. It's a document. This is a to whom it may concern letter that serves as a temporary substitute for the ID card. I don't know of any way to speed up the process with your drug plan, but you may be able to work some magic if your husband needs drugs before you return. The customer service number for the drug plan is blah, blah, blah. And I said, let me know how you did. Well, she hasn't gotten back to me yet. I'm hoping that she was able to work some magic. I don't know if they are concerned about the drugs or only the Medicare supplement in case of an accident or a need for treatment while they're on the trip. What I didn't say was enjoy your new grandson. I could have been more chatty and folksy with him, but I wasn't. And so I feel sorry about that. But anyway, they're very nice people. She's the one that works at Amelia Island in the I think she's a concierge, is kind of the way it sounded like from her signature on her email. And I hope that her trip goes well. Here is a third piece of correspondence from a client of ours. And this is kind of like good news. It's another stage in a life that I'm pretty sure has been a very fruitful and happy life, as far as I can tell. Hello, Doug. Mrs. Dominic and I decided to buy a house in Georgia, and he gave me the zip code, and we want to be near two of our children and our first grandchild. The builder is estimating that we should be able to close as soon as mid-December. Wanted to get your thoughts on how best to handle our supplemental plans, our Medicare supplements. We currently have Mutual of Omaha High Deductible Plan G, and he's talking about he and his wife. They started in July of last year when he left his employer plan. Wanted to see if there's any benefit in switching plans within the first policy year, i.e. not needing medical underwriting, or if we could simply make the change once we have a firm closing date. Thanks in advance for your support. And so I responded, congratulations, that sounds like an excellent thing to do, and I really hope it works out well for you. And I actually had my staff do some quoting. I have staff now, and they quote when I ask them to quote. I've developed a little form, and I email it to the staff, and then the staff sends me back quotes for about maybe six or eight companies, depending on the state they're in. In Georgia, I think it was six companies. So I said to Dominic, I said, attached, you will find a chart showing the high deductible plan G rates from the companies that I use in Georgia. You will note that I have advanced your ages, because you're talking about doing this at the end of the year. You'll each have a birthday before you move. So I wanted to see what the premiums would be from these companies. But there are two things that we don't know. First of all, Mutual of Omaha, I called Mutual of Omaha, and they're going to adjust your rates and apply those to your current premium. I have formally requested that information from Mutual of Omaha, and I'll send it to you as soon as I have received it. Item number two that we don't know is what will happen to the existing rates for the companies that I quoted here and sent to you and, you know, attached to the email. If they have rate increases during the course of the year, then that throws these numbers out the window. So at best, what we're dealing with is an educated guess as to what the rates would be like in their area of Georgia by the end of the year. So therefore, in order to give you the best available information, we will have to do this again next November or December and report your move to Mutual of Omaha after that. As always, let me know how else I can be of assistance. And then he wrote a very nice thank you. I didn't address his concern about medical underwriting. In reality, the medical underwriting is likely going to have to be done because more than 6 months will have passed since their Part B effective date. Possible that that a birthday rule or something like that could apply, but I'm inclined to think not. So the medical underwriting, if they want to change companies, is going to be something to be dealt with. I don't know that either of them have any medical problems, but the other thing is if they just stay with Mutual of Omaha, which is a fine company, they wouldn't need to go through any medical underwriting at all. So that is the nuts and bolts of Dominic and his lovely bride moving to Georgia to be close to their family. And I wish them much, much happiness. Here's a good news for people in North Carolina. I read you a statement a few weeks ago about the troubles that United Healthcare, the world's largest health insurance company, was having with the University of North Carolina medical system. And I said, it looks like their negotiations have come to a screeching halt and they're going to need to part ways. And this meant trouble for anybody that was in a Medicare Advantage plan issued by United Healthcare and for people who use doctors and hospitals at the University of North Carolina medical system. They are now reconciled, and the good news for anybody that has a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare in North Carolina and that uses doctors in their network, that are attached to the University of North Carolina, they can now rest easy that the network will not be disturbed, will not be turned upside down until the next time their negotiations are started up. And will they be able to come to an agreement at that point? We don't know. We just don't know. But for the time being, that kerfluffle has settled down and the dust is now settling as well. What to do about Medicare and Social Security when you move? Now, this might be something that pertains to Dominic and Mrs. Dominic. This is the savvy senior, this Oklahoma City expert who apparently is trying to increase his market penetration. So he says, I know one of his questioners says, "Dear Savvy Senior, next month I'm moving to a different state so I can be near my daughter. It seems to me that I should be stopping for commercials somewhere in here, Randy, and I overlooked that. So let's do that. Let's just listen quietly to all the commercials that are being played, probably 8 or 10 minutes worth, and then we'll come back." Okay, commercial break later than normal in the podcast episode, but let's go back to the Savvy Senior. The Savvy Senior's question was, "Next month I'm moving to a different state so I can be near my daughter and grandkids. Do I need to notify Social Security and Medicare about the move?" The signed, "Relocating Grandma." So the Savvy Senior says, "Dear Relocating, yes, if you're a Social Security and Medicare recipient, you definitely need to let those federal agencies know when and where you move so that there are no hiccups in your benefits coverage. Here's what you should know. The first thing is how to update your info. If you're receiving Social Security, retirement, survivors, or disability benefits, it's required that you notify the Social Security Administration when you move to ensure your deposits continue and you avoid disruptions. You'll need to provide them with your new mailing address so they can deliver important documents to you, like your annual SSA-1099 form, and your if you're switching banks or credit unions, you'll need to update your direct deposit information by providing your new financial institution's routing number and account number. If you're a Medicare participant, they too need your new mailing address so bills, correspondence, your Medicare summary notice, and other statements can go to the right address. You can update both your Social Security and Medicare contact information online by simply using the My Profile tab in your personal My Social Security account. If you don't have an account, you can create one online for free in just a few minutes. Or if you need some help or don't have internet access, you can call Social Security at 800-772-1213. Or visit your local Social Security office, that sounds like fun, and they will make the changes for you. For Medicare private plans, you'll also need to know that if you're enrolled in Original Medicare, you can move anywhere within the United States without losing coverage. But if you have Part D prescription drug coverage or a Medicare Advantage plan from a private health insurance company and you move out of the plan service area, you'll have to either switch plans or face losing coverage. Part D as in dog service areas are typically statewide, so you can extend to parts of the neighboring states, or these plans can extend to parts of the neighboring states, while Medicare Advantage plan service areas vary by county. Moving out of a plan service area qualifies you for a special enrollment period of at least 2 months to get a new plan. You may also qualify if you move within your plan service area and it offers options different from what you had. The enrollment timing depends on when you notify the plan. If you tell your plan before you move, your chance to switch plans begins the month before the month you move and continues for 2 full months after you move. If you tell your plan after you move, your chance to switch plans begins the month you tell the plan plus 2 more full months. To shop for a new Part D drug plan and Medicare Advantage plans in your new area, you can use the Medicare Plan Finder, or you can maybe call the agent that sold you that stuff in the first place. You can also switch Part D or Medicare Advantage plans back, during open enrollment, which runs each year, the end of the year, October through December 7th. Medicare supplement plans. If you're enrolled in Original Medicare and have a Medicare supplement policy, you usually don't have to switch plans if you move. But if you do, I don't know when you would ever have to. That's one of the things about Medicare supplements. You don't have to switch plans if you move, but if you do need to, you do need to notify your provider. Some insurers let you keep the rate based on the state where you originally applied for Medigap. Others may change your premiums to coincide with their coverage in a different zip code. Now, what I would suggest you use, let's say you're planning to move and you've got one of those Medicare Advantage plans, which are not plans that I recommend or sell to any of my clients. There is a special enrollment period created by the fact that you have moved out of the plan service area. You are allowed to get an Original Medicare plan, and if you qualify medically in some cases, and if you don't even need to qualify in other cases, you can get a Medicare supplement. This is the best coverage available for anybody and is typically going to just cost you $50 a month. I'd say between $30 and $60 a month for the finest coverage that gives you the best freedom of choice ever. So if you've got a Medicare Advantage plan, you're planning a move out of the plan service area, what you want to do is contact Medicare for the Lazy Man. I'll find out whether your state forces the companies to ask your medical history or not. But if you wanted to change from your Medicare Advantage plan to regular Medicare, Original Medicare, plus a Medicare supplement, I would be happy to find out whether or not it is possible for you to do that. I wouldn't suggest moving to Original Medicare if you can't qualify based on health history for a supplement plan, because a supplement is very important to pick up the pieces, to fill in the gaps, to cover you in case of a huge medical expense. This will make sure that you have only a very tiny portion of your medical expenses to pay out of your pocket. But keep that in mind. If you're planning a move and you've got a Medicare Advantage plan, and perhaps you see the handwriting on the wall that Medicare Advantage plans are going to get worse before they ever get better, then use the email address that Randy is about to give you at the end of this episode, and I will be happy to find out whether I can improve your situation with Medicare. So by yumping yimini, we're sneaking up on the very end of this episode. I think it's time for you to escort us out, Randy.
The 75-cent clock has gone, so we're going to have to land the plane. I'm sorry, but that's all the time we got, folks. Doug has not gotten a raise of the 75-cent media cost through the board yet.
The finances just aren't working in our favor right now.
I know. So anyway, long story short is we need to bring the plane in for landing. And before I do, there's always a few things I like to take care of. Number one, Doug mentioned an email address that he wants you to use to contact him. And it's a great one to have because he's always Johnny on the spot answering your questions. And it is, copy it down, dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Don't forget, Doug is licensed nationwide to help you with your Medicare supplement planning. Check us out on the website, medicareforthelazyman.com. You know, we would appreciate it if you could find a place somewhere in the world of internet to drop a couple reviews for us on the content that we produce. So, you know, the numbers are everything. And I know we're just early in the year in April, but bottom line is we got to start talking numbers more so than ever. So anyway, long story short is last, but certainly not least, thank you. Thank you for joining us. You could have been a number of different places doing a number of different things, and you weren't. You were with us, which is exactly where we like to have you, listening to Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast with Doug Jones. But if you weren't checking your watch, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug. I guess I should probably use your catchphrase, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma. No more. He's living in Cave Creek in the high ground up in the, I'm going to put him in at about, in his fortress of solitude, about 12,500 feet today. Even though it's about 78 degrees, it's not going to be that warm up where he's at.
No, but I'll take it because I see summer on the horizon and I love summer. So thank you very much, Randy, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. We'll look forward to serving you with Medicare knowledge at our next episode. Bye-bye.